Welcome to the Hutt City Baptist podcast. For more information, visit us at huttbaptist.org.nz.
I did decide to use this one. Sorry, sound people. Good morning, everybody. Welcome, church. Firstly, a huge thanks to Caleb and the worship team. That was great this morning. I particularly liked the cool bass player. He reminded me a bit of the guy from Dr. Hook without the patch and the long hair, but you can't have everything. It's become a sort of a summer tradition over the last few years. Kathy would be able to tell us how many. That we've done this series called, that's morphed into what we call Journeys. It's basically about ordinary people's lives, and we're all ordinary people, aren't we? And there's a series of things that I ask, and before I introduce today's guest, I just wanted to read you something that I read in a sermon online last night from an Anglican church, St. Matthew's Anglican Church, about journeys, because I thought it kind of put what we're doing into focus. One of the great metaphors of the Bible is the journey. The Bible is filled with journey upon journey. From Genesis to Revelation, the scripture is full of people on the move. In the beginning of the Old Testament, Abraham journeys from Ur of the Chaldees to the Promised Land. Many generations later, Abraham's descendants journey from slavery to oppression in Egypt and into the land of Israel. Many generations after that, they journey back to their promised land after the tragic downfall of their civilization and their forced exile in Babylon. In the New Testament, Jesus finds himself journeys through Palestine, preaching the good news of the kingdom of God. As he journeys, he shows people what the kingdom looks like by his deeds of love and power. After the resurrection, Paul and the apostles journey all over the Roman Empire, and their message reaches to the ends of the earth. And here we are, millennia later, with our journeys touching theirs. It makes sense that the concept of journey would be central to Scripture, because we human beings are journeying people. We make sense of our lives by understanding them as journeys, as the unfolding story of who we are and what we do in the world. We think and talk and worry about our career arcs or our family histories or our financial forecasts or our estate plans, when you get to my age. In our better moments, we think and talk and pray about our spiritual journeys, always thinking about our lives, our stories, about the journey that has been and the journey that will be. In some deep way, journeying is an elemental part of who we are as human beings. And that's basically what we do here in these summer series of journeys. And it's a great pleasure to introduce Ryan Bevan to you this morning. Now, I have to confess that before Ryan was suggested to me, I'd never really met and talked to Ryan, and I had a coffee with him and learned a little bit more about him. And the one thing that my ears pricked up on that we're going to touch on is that he's a trained journalist and newscaster. Read fake news and stuff like that. So there's all sorts of interesting things that we can ask him, but I want him to start off in the normal way by telling us a little bit about where he came from, about his family background, about his present family situation, and so on.
Was I your seventh choice or something?
No, only third. And Keith Vaughan dropped you in it. But you were only third because I didn't know who you were, you see.
That's okay. Well, hopefully I can change that. I'm Ryan. I grew up in Whanganui, and I have two older brothers. I grew up on a little farm, like 10 k's out of town, and like many of the other people are from Whanganui, actually.
Who's from Whanganui here? Raise your hand. Oh, look at that. Quite a few.
I grew up on a farm 10 cars out of town with no TV, which is ironic considering I work in the media now. And yeah, I guess I've had a stable Christian background, two parents that are still together, and yeah.
Your family went to church in Whanganui, did they?
Yeah, they did. They went to Whanganui Central Baptist. Yeah.
Great. Well, and tell us about your present family situation. Are you married? And
yeah, I have a lovely wife, Kendall, who's just awkwardly trying not to be seen. She works in the Wellington Hospital as a radiation therapist, so much more important than pointing a camera at people.
And how long have you been here in Wellington?
I've been here about 6 years.
And now tell us how you pay the bills and how you trained for that, perhaps.
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm trying to work that out myself. I actually left TVNZ about 2 years ago, or just under 2 years ago, and have been playing a game of what do I want to do when I grow up. Yes, unfortunately, I am growing up now. So, but no, it has been a fun challenge, and I've done everything in the last couple of years, from driving diggers and trucks to working for Sky and filming All Blacks and things.
So you did a journalist training. Where did you do that?
Yeah, I did a film and television production course up in Hawke's Bay.
Right, and then you worked for TVNZ.
I did, yes. Right. So I moved down to Christchurch after the earthquake when no one else wanted to go there, and spent 10 months down there.
And what particular things were you doing with TVNZ?
So my main role there is working behind the scenes, so right. This is unfamiliar, and normally in the camera side of things. So, yeah. Just giving someone else a platform, I guess.
And you were telling me when we were having coffee that you're actually involved in a Christian group in the media. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that, or do
yeah,
you want to bring
absolutely.
That in later?
Oh, I can bring people into the safe bubble. So there's a Christian media group that was actually set up by somebody that didn't find support within the church, because they may have a platform, but they don't sometimes have choices of what they can or can't say, and they felt like they didn't have support within the media or within the church family. So this group, you can't Google it. You won't find anything. It's made by CBA. It's called SALT. And it's, I guess, a safe place for Christians within the media. Both secular and, Christian circles.
How often do you meet, and how many people are usually involved?
It varies, so it's just kind of depending on what's happening. We have a chaplain that's paid by CBA to hang out with us if there's things going on, like redundancies at TVNZ or...
Christian Broadcasting Association.
Yeah, sorry, Christian Broadcasting Association. So if you pay them, then you're actually supporting Christians within the wider media as well.
And do you want to go back and tell us a little bit about your spiritual journey? How did you come to make an adult commitment to the Christian faith?
Yeah, sure. So I can't really put a specific time or date on when I became a Christian, but it's been kind of more of a journey. Growing up in a Christian family, there's kind of a few, I guess, moments in time. I've been baptised. That would probably be a moment in time. There was another time when I decided to go up and make a commitment in church, and I actually said to God, I would like you to give me the microphone. I thought that was pretty wide thing that I didn't think I'd ever seen anybody who put their hand up to say that they want to become a Christian being given a microphone. Anyway, this time there was only me that put my hand up, and I was asked up the front, and they said, "Why are you here?" And handed me the microphone. So, and I had no idea what to say. So I guess that was a big part of my life. But I guess.
And have you found in the industry itself, in the news industry, in the media industry, conflicts with between your faith and between the culture of it, the whole thing? Do you want to talk? I think you might have had something to show us on the screen, did you?
Or? Yeah, absolutely. There is a video. I'm not sure whether it's ready or no, it's not ready.
Okay.
So I'll just let them sort that out. Oh, there it is.
And D's away. It's like number three.
There is uncertainty, I think, in the media about the church, and I think in the church there's uncertainty about the media. So mutual distrust, prayer.
Actually, I'll be honest with you, some of the harshest criticism I've ever got in my career is actually from Christians. That hurts to say it, but that's the truth. It would be much nicer if they said, you know, sent a text saying, just letting you know, we love listening to you, you know, God's got your back, or something. That would make me feel closer to God rather than pinning me. It makes me want to run.
I find that prayer connects me with God, but it also connects me with my colleagues. I see them in a different way if I'm more prayerful through the day. So I think that if people pray for the media, they might start to see us in a different way as well.
You know, people in the media, journalists, TV presenters, film actors, you know, they're real people with real feelings and real emotions.
My last three assignments have all been on child trafficking in India, Philippines, and then in Nepal. And that's brought with it a kind of horror.
Some journalists have to go into hotspots, war-torn countries, or even closer to home, graphic scenes that they might encounter if they're an investigative journalist. And that's where prayer is really important, because those sorts of things are shocking to the spirit.
Hey, appreciate you calling me.
My wife's grandma, every time I see her, she always says, "Oh, Clint, I've been praying for you." And that's really cool to know that, you know, that someone is taking time out of their day to pray for you, especially when the people that you don't really know, when it's Derek the truck driver from Timaru, and that's all I know about him, but he's taking time out of his day to pray for me that I would be a better influence in the lives of everyone who tunes into the show.
That right there is the crucial fold.
Prayer, I think, is not only talking to God, it's listening to God, and that's a key thing. But a common prayer that people refer to as a dark prayer, just like a really quick prayer.
So when you're watching TV and you see someone who infuriates you, you just pray for them. Sometimes I pray for Kanye West, because I don't think that many people are praying for a rapper who compares himself to God.
Our need to be covered in prayer, our need for the Holy Spirit to help us create beautiful images is really important.
Pray for us when we do a good job. Pray for us when we do a terrible job, but don't leave us off the list.
Wouldn't it be great if instead of instantly looking at the negative, we looked a little deeper and saw the seed of potential of somebody in the media and prayed that that would be shaped towards God and that that would become more of who they are?
Awesome. So that, as you can see up there, is for Media Prayer Day a few years ago. But I think I wanted to play it because I feel that a lot of people in the media feel like they're being attacked from all sides, whether that's within the church or whether that's everybody in the public. Yeah, I guess it's just a challenge to the church. You asked for giving the church a challenge. I've seen people in tears many a time in the media. It's quite close to home that people can be abused nationally. From you know any person, any walk of life now has a platform to be able to speak to these people that are quite out in public, a lot of people struggle with it.
Well, thanks for that, Ryan. That is indeed a good challenge, because I'm sure if you're like me, you're often sitting on the end of a talkback show or listening to something and they go, you know. And it is a good challenge to think about the people who are behind it. Just a little more personally, can you tell us about any bumps in the road in your faith or in your family, any challenges that you've had to overcome, and maybe how God's helped you to do that?
Yeah, sure. When I was studying, I had my mum was diagnosed with cancer, and she actually spent 6 years battling cancer, which for one reason or another, they determined that it was terminal. And then after lots of prayer and working through it, I guess they, she requested another opinion after lots of prayer and that sort of thing. And they found that they'd been treating the wrong cancer the whole time. So they were able to have one relatively simple operation, and that was about it. I guess that was a challenge, especially when I was in the processes of leaving home and being a student, and you've got a lot of things going on already. You know, you're allowed to go to McDonald's every day of the week if you really want to. I found myself challenged in kind of what I believe and what I should think and kind of everything, I guess, all at that time. So yeah, I guess that was a challenging time for me. I'm out the other side of it mostly, but I guess you just have to find God and be able to talk to him and talk to other people about challenges and stuff.
And what about your future personally for you and your lovely wife? And where do you see yourself staying in the media situation? Or I think you mentioned there might maybe other challenges that God has ahead for you.
Yeah, as I said, I'm playing a game of what I want to do when I grow up. I'm working at Sky TV at the moment, just filming rugby, which you don't get as attacked for, funnily enough. Everyone likes rugby. I don't really know what I want to do. I had a great job. I had a car, I had a camera, I had a nice, consistent paycheck. And I kind of gave that all up because I wanted to re-challenge myself. I'd kind of got comfortable being in that. I could be talking to the Prime Minister, you know, in the morning, drug dealer in the afternoon, and being in a helicopter the next day going somewhere completely different. I felt a little bit like a superhero. But I kind of got comfortable in that and kind of needed to refocus and re-challenge myself.
Perhaps that's something we could pray for you about. Is there anything else we could pray for you specifically?
That would be good. The whole media thing. I guess you can pray for the media and stuff, because a lot of times you don't feel like you have support in there. Maybe not specifically me, but other people within the media.
Sure. Well, thank you very much, and let's pray for that and for you.
Sure.
Father God, we thank you for journeys. We thank you for Ryan's journey. We do think about our media, the radio and the newspapers and the television and the online people. Lord, it's a mishmash that we don't really understand very much, and we pray you would be in it. We pray you will help groups like SALT and Christian Broadcasting Association and individual Christians who are in there. We pray that you would prevent us from being judgmental and attacking, verbally attacking or emotionally attacking our newscasters and presenters. We pray you will lead us through into all truth. Pilate said, what is truth? When he questioned Jesus, and we know that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. So we pray that you would, Jesus, would lead us into all truth. We pray for Ryan that you would show him the next step on the journey, whether it's to work on his own or have his own business or to do something else, Lord. We thank you that you have journeyed with him and that he loves you and trusts you, and we pray that you would continue to do that. In Jesus' precious name, amen.